It's always a pleasure to catch up with one of the biggest owners in the country, Frank Cook. And, of course, linebacker carries Frank's colours. And as I said yesterday, given the way the race was run last weekend, he basically mathematically had no chance in the race. But, gee, he ran well. He's an exciting horse with a view to the future. And we thought we might see linebacker run on the weekend. But that is not the case. And Frank Cook is with us. How are you, Frank?
Good morning, Steve. Yes, it was a disappointing weekend with linebacker and a huge jubilation with the Evaporate. But I must be quite serious and say linebacker's chances evaporated at the start.
They did indeed, yeah.
He only missed it by a long neck. But when you draw in the middle of the field, and that was the barrier I got the pleasure of drawing, and we were quite happy with that. But when you just that neck behind the middle of the field, then Zach had no option but to either charge forward into the pack or just go across. And he went across, and then the whole field just pulled up down the back straight. So I think it was the slowest Doncaster in the last 40 years or something, I read. And back markers had no chance. That's why 10 of them went across the line together.
Your guy was the quickest 600 home too, wasn't he?
Yes. I was watching a show last night, and I saw that, and that just rubbed a bit of salt into the wounds.
Yeah, punter's intel.
That's right.
Yeah. If Fierce Sustainer wasn't there on the weekend, would you have run linebacker in the Queen Elizabeth?
Look, I think no, I wouldn't. But John O'Shea's the master, John and Tom. They decide, but I think they've always thought the Doncaster was his whole target. He won the Ramwick Guineas along the way, we can't forget. But they were then basically, I think, ready to put him aside to come back for the Golden Eagle in the spring and maybe the Epsom.
And is that where Evaporate's heading as well, the Golden Eagle?
That's what Ben Hayes has told us. He's quite excited that he believes he will get to Group 1 level. And, you know, the way he won on Saturday, sure, the field wasn't the class of the Doncaster. But it was pretty impressive. And to sit on the speed and kick away like that, it gave us a lot of hope for the future. And it was huge exhilaration for the fans. Katrina and Sam had come across from Little Avondale Stud in New Zealand to watch him race, and because they kept to share him in him, and it's just beautiful to spend time with Cat and Sam and the other owners.
So what run, how many runs into an eagle would he have?
I think he'll probably only have two, and I think linebacker would be the same. Funnily enough, they're developing similar styles of racing, because Evaporate's proven accepted in the Kiwi, the slop race in New Zealand, where he went across and had to go back. He's performed very well up on the pace, I suppose, except in the Cox Plate, where it was crazy. And never mind, that'll wait hopefully for another year. And linebackers, of course, led all the way in the Ramwick Guineas. So
I distinctly remember doing that interview with you before he was gelded, and we saw the extra leg that day, and you were just so disappointed at the time. But it's been a good result.
Well, yes, it was a hard decision. The decision took about 30 seconds after the race for all of us to say he's got to be gelded. I think he was gelded on the Sunday. And it's just a huge tribute to John O'Shea and Tom that they have managed his comeback, because, horses that get gelded don't always come back and improve, he certainly has.
Frank, interesting. You talked about the Golden Eagle, where both horses are heading. The format of that race last year is just extraordinary. I'm just going to mention a few horses that went around in it that have won Group 1 since. Tom Kitten comes to mind. Steffi Magnetica is another that had no luck in the Golden Eagle. Port Lockroy's won a Group 1 in WA. Jolly Star, a subsequent Group 1 winner. Skybird's won a Lightning Stakes coming out of it. Ascoli Pacino's won a Saudi race, a feature there, Group 2.
You've been doing some homework.
Just a little bit.
But I think that the thing is that the Golden Eagle was basically, I believe, set up to try and keep the stallions for the colts that were potentially stones in work for the four-year-old season, because we lose so many as early three-year-olds, or they even don't even come back as three-year-olds. They get bought up by the studs. They might have one or two runs, but now they're all sort of targeting the Golden Eagle being a premium race for four-year-olds.
You have a share in Zoo Gotcha. She's won 8 from 18 by Zoo Star. She's won a Coolmore over 2.6 million, and she goes through the sale at Magic Millions over the coming months. Is that correct, Zoo Gotcha?
Yeah, Zoo Gotcha was a great filly, and now mare, with a wonderful connection with Chris Waller and the team. We've been in her since the yearling days, and with Noel and Maria and the Sneezebees and Rick Smith and Ian Bruce. We've been a lot of horses with those guys over the last 10, 15 years, but it was very, very exciting. Of course, Kate and Anthony Thompson from Widden are in it as well. But the decision was made that she's won three group ones. This time last year, she won the Coolmore Stud Stakes there were two group ones in a row, you know, within a month of each other. But this time around, Chris just said, look, I think it's time to retire her. And the vote was that she'd be best placed in the Magic Millions. I think originally we thought we might get a run or two out of her, but Chris said, no, let's just target the sale let her become a mum.
That broodmare sale, national sale at the Gold Coast, is the 27th, 28th and 29th of May. Some big names there.
Certainly is. And, of course, we had visual excitement with the chairman sale.
Yes, tell me about Shout the Bar.
Well, I bought into Shout the Bar when it was a yearling. I loved it. Walking around, and we were outfitted at the time by the Gay and Adrian team. And I was going to put my hand up again, and the bloodstock agent at the time said, no, just go and ask them for a share. So we raced over and got the colours and raced her on to win two group ones. And the irony was that it was all during COVID. So Christine and I did not ever get to see her race. A horse that wins two group ones, and due to COVID, in fact, I have this fantastic cartoon up on the behind the bar, because Shout the Bar won the Binary Stud Stakes and there was nobody up the track. And Mr. Fairchild did a cartoon in a paper in Sydney with Shout the Bar sitting cross-legged at one end of the bar and a cockroach sitting at the other end and saying, well, that was a cheap shout, wasn't it? So, it was a great journey. Of course, we didn't expect that she was sold for, I think it was 2.7 originally, and we thought, okay, we'll get out, take the money. We're getting too old I'm getting too old to hang around for her to start breeding, and of course she missed first season, but second season she had the Home Affairs colt, and it bought $3 million on Sunday.
Extraordinary. She won a Vinery and a Empire Rose?
Empire Rose, yeah.
By not a single doubt.
Yes, yeah. Fantastic sire and a great, now going to be a great broodmare sire.
Was that Coolmore?
Yes, yeah, Coolmore bought that.
Yeah.
And of course, the other bit of excitement that we had last weekend was Rivolino, or 2 weekends ago, was Rivolino, in which we have a share, bred by a Queenslander, Brian Ireland, that is son-in-law Scott, running in the Golden Slipper. And it was our first Golden Slipper runner in 30 years of racing.
That's incredible.
He didn't win, but he gave it a good shot.
Yeah, indeed. What's happening with Lee Curtis's talented horse, Lee and Cherie, that filly? We didn't see the best of her, unfortunately, Millions Day, but she's very good, Bohemia.
Bohemia, we gave her a good spell after that. She just pulled up that, I don't want to criticise the track, but it was a pretty shitty day. She pulled up with a clot in her eye, But the eye had no damage to it after a little bit of time. And the decision made, look, just let her have a good spell and recover it. And she's now back in work with Lee and Cherie. She'll be ready maybe for the Queensland winter. I suspect by the time, like it takes like 8 weeks of training and another month of barrier trials. So add another couple of months onto where we are now. We'll be in the end of the spring.
Frank, what's one horse that'll win for you over the weekend? We need to get some X's in the bank.
I think it's going to be a very quiet weekend for us, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah, our best hope would be Athabascan in the Sydney Cup. He's been set for that. But that Alicant looks pretty damn good. Yeah. So I can't really tip you into one this time.
Yeah, I suppose it's not proven at the 2 miles, and it is a different pain barrier.
It certainly is, and... we also have a share in Waltham with Matty Smith, and Matt's been doing a great job sending horses up to Queensland, like Theo Prospero, that we're in with a great mate, Maurice Sinclair.
Yeah.
He's won two in a row.
About Headwall? He's the most improved sprinter in the country. He's beaten in a benchmark race in Brisbane last year. Headwall?
Yeah, well, Matty Smith's turned his not another bloody second around to, hey, we've won again. He's put in a beautiful 800-metre deep sand track up at their farm at Luscombe Park on the Lower Hunter. And that foundation work seems to be paying off now. Those horses are just that much fitter. It only needs to be a length or two fitter. But Headwall's certainly risen to the occasion. He's been lucky, unlucky in both, the Oakley Plate, the Newmarket, and desperately unlucky last Saturday.
Yeah, the horse was still sitting on the bit there at the early part of the straight there last weekend. That horse is, I think, of Blake Spriggs, of course. I'm hoping to get an update on Blake tomorrow on Racing HQ. Just ask, next time you speak to Matt, I'm desperate to know what's happening with Ethel Fled, that good filly.
It's back and it's trialled. It trialled last week from memory.
Okay.
He's pretty happy with it. And with the form Matt's in, I'll be watching it. He's also sending... Headwall going across. It's got a slot in the Quokka in WA. So got to take on Overpass again, well, this year anyway.
We might have to get you on with a regular news segment, Frank, I think. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, pleasure to see you always. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Frank Cook, Ethel Fled. I think, you know, often sometimes Oaks form doesn't stand up, but I just knew watching the VRC Oaks that day when Zardozzi beat Ethel Fled, there was just gaps all through the field and they ran a similar sectional. It's just Ethel Fled was behind Zardozzi in the run in that VRC Oaks, and she's by Saxon Warrior. It's just a pity she went amiss or had a problem, but she trialled there at Warwick Farm back last month. So anyway, love to see Matt get her right, because boy, I think she'd be a good stayer of the future. Ethel Fled.